A genuine Christian has the Spirit, and that Spirit within us is greater than the spirit of error and false teaching that is in the world. And because we have the stronger Spirit, we hear the truth and we do not follow the falsehood.
This is The Journey, the radio ministry of Bethel Church in Northwest Indiana, featuring the teaching of Steve DeWitt. In a world of so many voices, how do you cut through the noise and discern the truth? Today on The Journey, part two of the message, Don't Believe Everything You Hear. If you missed the first part of this message, visit our website, thejourney.fm, or subscribe to our podcast, The Journey with Pastor Steve DeWitt. That way you can listen to the first part of this message. Here now, continuing his teaching on discernment from 1 John chapter 4, is Pastor Steve.
Who here cares enough about the truth to get riled up about a departure from the one genuine true gospel? That's really what is at stake here. We're so blasé about things, aren't we? Okay, fine, he says what he wants, but man, what time are we getting out of here? I fear that we don't care enough about the truth. You say, why should I care about the truth? Here's why. There is one gospel that saves. One. And hell is a long time to figure out that truth matters. As J.C. Ryle said, hell is truth discovered too late. Too late. There is only one gospel that saves. And the apostles and those that have gone before us, literally shedding their blood to maintain the purity of this one gospel, that Jesus didn't become the Christ. He had always been the Christ. He was always the Son of God. Messiahship didn't just come down upon him. He was chosen by God in eternity past. He didn't appear like he was in the flesh. He was in the flesh. Because if he only appeared to be in the flesh when he died on the cross, he didn't die as our representative. And if he didn't die as our representative, we're all going to hell, friends. And who cares enough about the truth to get riled up about that? Or to say, wait a second, that's not right. Or at the very least going, I won't believe that. Why? Because I don't believe everything I hear. I have a filter. I want the truth. Not just all this blah, blah, error stuff. Give me the truth. Can you handle the truth? Which was not in the notes, but it just came to me. My fear is this, that you take subtle error like that and you add a winsome, compelling personality or academic credibility with degrees. Well, he's smarter than me, so I just must not understand it. Or the right kind of marketing. And God's people, I fear, will believe just about anything. But we're having such a good time here. And the children are behaving better as a result of the children's ministry. And we feel good when we leave. Please don't insinuate that there's something wrong. That's what John is saying. If it's not the truth, there's something wrong. And at issue here is the gospel. You want to talk about getting riled up? Listen to Paul in Galatians 1:9. He says, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Literally, let him be eternally damned. Now, if I get up here and throw out some names of people and I say, let them be damned, you all leave here thinking I'm like crazy guy, right? But here's the Apostle Paul, caring enough about the one gospel that saves to say, anybody who changes that, who twists that, who subtly steps away from that, may they be under the eternal damnation of Almighty God. I'll bet if the apostles showed up and preached some sermons, we would walk out offended. We don't talk like that. We're nice. We just want to be nice people, right? The apostles were not nice towards people that didn't believe. I shouldn't say didn't believe, but who denied. In fact, that's something I think is also important to realize here is that, you know, there's a big difference between not knowing something yet and denying it. And certainly children or even new Christians who all they know is the basics, but you know what? You know and believe the basics, you're saved. Truly. Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. However, there's a difference between not knowing something yet and denying it. If you come to the conviction where you say, like these guys apparently were, I don't believe Jesus came in the flesh. I've thought about it. I don't believe it. I deny it. That's way different than the six-year-old who doesn't understand it yet. And to that, Paul says, false teacher. Believing the spirit of error, believing the spirit of Antichrist. A false teacher is one that denies or twists what God says is true. And he says here that if you deny the truth, that the Holy Spirit is not in you. If you deny the truth, the Holy Spirit is not in you. And that's the point of verses 4 through 6. Look at what it says. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So that we can say this, 1 John is broadly about identifying true Christians and false ones. But this passage is about identifying true teachers and false teachers. That's what he's getting at here. Verse 6 says, true Christians listen or they hear the truth. They're wired to hear the truth because the Spirit of God is within us. The world loves falsehood, and they listen to that. And so one way that you can know the genuine Christian from the not genuine Christian, who are they listening to? Who are they? And by listening, it's not like I accidentally had my radio on. Like if you get in your car, you rent a car, and you're driving down the road, and it's 10 minutes before you realize that you're listening to some wacky cult guy, it doesn't mean you're going to hell, okay? Listening there is not just the words going in my ears. Listening there is receiving, believing, following, embracing. That's what listening means. Now, why will a genuine Christian not do that? And what he says here is the very often quoted verse, often out of context, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I bet many of you have been Christians for a long time. You've read that verse. It's a great comforting verse, isn't it? That this world is terrible and horrible, but you know what? The one that is in us is greater than the one that is in the world. You know what? That is true. But the context here is not about, you know, the sicko world that we live in and the comfort that we receive from that. It has to do with the role of the Holy Spirit within us and the fact that a genuine Christian has the Spirit, and that Spirit within us is greater than the spirit of error and false teaching that is in the world. And because we have the stronger Spirit, we hear the truth and we do not follow the falsehood. Because of the Spirit. It's not that we're smart. It's not that we're brilliant, insightful. None of that. This is also a fruit of God's work in our life. The Spirit's in us. That's a really good point. Did you get what I'm saying there? Okay. It's not that we're smarter than other people. There's no pride in this. But God gives us His Spirit so that we can hear His truth and to keep us from going down a path of believing falsehood. This is the role of the Spirit. Here's 1 Corinthians 12:3. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. That's getting at that same point there, that the fruit of the Spirit in my life, there's all kinds of them, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all these other fruits. But one of the fruits is hearing and appropriating, believing, following. The Spirit keeps us attuned to the truth and not to any error. Now, here's what John is saying. He is saying that Christians, we live in a world where there's all kinds of words, all kinds of people saying all kinds of things. There's all kinds of teaching. And all words are teaching in some way. There is a cacophony of sounds and words. And within this cacophony, Christians live our everyday lives. We walk around, but what are we doing? By the Spirit, we are able to discern, in the midst of all the error, truth. And to not listen, appropriate, believe, embrace any other teaching. And that Spirit that is in us, His voice is greater than any other voice in the world. So essentially what I'm saying tonight is, Can you hear the truth in the midst of all of the error? All true Christians hear and follow the truth by the power of the Spirit, enabling them to discern what is true from the cacophony of what is false. And it is one way that God keeps us saved. It's one way. Now, towards the goal of discernment, I'd like to spend a little bit of time just talking broadly about this with you. And I want to equip you, okay? I want to equip you. What was going on in this time that John writes about was a Christological issue, okay? A Christological issue. So John gives a Christological test, right? No one that denies that Jesus is come into the world in the flesh is of the Spirit of God. Now, you might leave here and say, well, that's the only thing that matters then, right? No, it's not. It was a specific test for a specific falsehood. But there are many other falsehoods that the church and Christians deal with. You can read through church history. There have been struggles about the nature of God and the nature of Scripture and the nature of salvation. And there's been just so many things. And if you leave here thinking, well, this is the only one thing that matters, it's a naive perspective on the battle for truth and the battle for the gospel. So to that end, I'd like to give you some common categories of teaching, okay, that often trip God's people up to help us identify these in the future. Here's a category. I've got several. Mostly true. Okay? Mostly true. This is what Satan did in his temptations in the garden. He quoted God and he quoted Scripture mostly right. He got it mostly right. But there was the intentional not right that he put in there that became the temptation, and ultimately it was the heresy. And this is probably, I hate to say this, but this is probably the most dangerous one. Because we hear certain words, and they're kind of like comfort points for us. So, like if you go to visit a church, and there are guys talking, blah, 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 God, blah, 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 Jesus, blah, 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 cross, blah, 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 salvation, blah, 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 gospel, you're like, oh, it's a good church. It's a good church. Why? Because there were certain little touch points that created comfort inside. These people believe the way that I do. And yet, there is all kinds of gaps in there within which falsehood can lie. Let me give you an example of this, and this is just history. If we went back 100 years ago, the thriving churches in America were the mainline denominations. Okay? Lutheranism, Methodism, Presbyterianism. To this day in the cities of, even in downtown Chicago. Go to downtown Chicago, and what are the biggest, most beautiful churches that are down there? Presbyterian churches, Old Methodist churches, etc. I mean, they're massive, they're beautiful, and the people that built those were very sincere Christians. And yet today, what do you find in most mainline denomination churches? Really big, beautiful buildings and nobody going. Why? Well, part of what happened was, and this is multifaceted, but part of what happened was, there was 100 years ago within the church mostly true. They began to say things like this. You know what? Jesus cared for the poor. Jesus loved people. If we're going to be followers of Jesus, we need to do the same. Don't you think? And all the people are like, amen. That's true. We need to care for people more around here. Amen to that. And they preached it and they preached it and they preached it. And over time, the root and the fruit were confused, right? Do we need to love people? Absolutely. We've been talking about that in 1 John over and over again. But what we've tried to emphasize is that loving others is not the condition of our salvation. It is the byproduct of it. And when you mistake the fruit for the root, you do not have a tree. You do not have salvation. And so all the sermons 100 years ago in these beautiful, big, flowing, filled with people churches about loving other people and getting involved in those things resonated with people because it felt sentimentally right. But that is not the gospel, okay? The gospel is not first and foremost meeting physical needs. It is meeting spiritual ones. Christ died for our sins. That is a spiritual need. It has huge physical byproducts as we care and love and fellowship and unity of the church and all these things. But that subtle, mostly true, has devastated denominationalism. Can you hear mostly true and identify what's not true in that? Beware. Second category, true but emphasizing the wrong things. True but emphasizing the wrong things. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones says this, we have somehow got hold of the idea that error is only that which is outrageously wrong. And we do not seem to understand that the most dangerous person of all is the one who does not emphasize the right things. And so what happens oftentimes in churches and with God's people is all of a sudden they veer off and they get on something that's good, I guess, and important, and they elevate that to being the big thing. And they're all about that one big thing. It's all about that instead of it's all about him. It's one reason I like our theme of it's all about him, because it grounds us in what this whole thing is about. It's Christ. And the danger is always to take something that's good and important and that we should care about, a cause or our country or even gifts that God gives. I mean, think about in some of the extreme sort of charismatic circles where the whole thing is about spiritual gifts. We're all about spiritual gifts. Okay. Did God set this whole thing up to be about that? I don't think so. It's a wonderful, glorious, good gift that God gave to serve the ultimate purpose of bringing glory to Christ. And you see how these other things can, when they move into the place of center, they sound right, and God's people, well-intentioned, can kind of go along with that. But it crowds out what ought to be at the center. And over time, you now have a church that is off kilter and caring about things, secondary things, and making them primary things. Third category, right words, wrong meaning. Right words, wrong meaning. You know, again, there are certain words that make us feel good. Like if I get up here and I preach, and you are zoning out like maybe some of you are, but then I say a word like, you know, like gospel, forgiveness of sins, I could throw out a big word, justification. You know, you throw those kind of words to people, like, It's my kind of sermon. That's meat and potatoes. Why? He's using those words. Substitutionary atonement. Substitutionary atonement. Oh, I like that. It's like meat to the wolves, right? Because they're the right words. And what a lot of dangerous teaching does is it uses the touch points of the words that we find spiritually significant, but they are not meaning them the way that the Bible means them. And this is all over the television. Take a word like sin. Sin's a word that kind of gets God's people going. Why? Because we know we're sinners, and the Bible's all about sin. What do dangerous teachers do with sin? They emasculate it. They shade it. They say the word, but by it, they don't mean what the Bible means by the word. It sounds right, but the meaning is not the same. Or even like Jesus died for us. You know how many liberal heresies have come out of that simple phrase? He died for us. Oh, really? For what? To inspire us, to give an example of loving others, to show us ultimate sacrifice, to show us the love of God. Did he bear personally the guilt of the sins of the world vicariously in his conscience and in his soul? Well, no, I wouldn't want to say that. I wouldn't want to say that. But he did die for us. And isn't it inspiring that he did? And the words are shaded and they're kind of subtly twisted. You realize that is what health and wealth preachers do. They have just enough that sounds kind of right, but they are not meaning those things the way that we mean them and the way that the Bible describes them. And so they throw out words that sound right, like eternal life, riches, healing, atonement, judgment. And they probably don't talk about judgment. But they don't mean what the apostles meant by those words. And behind those words is a spirit of error, leading tens of thousands of people astray. Another example of this. The problem that we have is we don't realize how good we are, and that God's love is some statement about our inherent worth and value. Is that really our problem, that we don't realize how good we are to go before a holy God? No, that's not our problem. Our problem is we don't realize how bad we are. We don't realize how sinful we are. We think we're good people, and that word sounds good to us, tickles the ear. But the story of the Bible is not that Jesus died for good people, he died for sinners. And his death is not a statement of our worth, rather it is a statement of his love for the Father and even for sinners, enemies of his, that he loved us like that. And you see how it can sound right, but it's not quite. And the undiscerning Christian can be led astray into that kind of thinking, and it's not long before you're buying into the presuppositions that are behind it. Final category is the one that we want to land on. Biblically true and provable. And quickly, to tell the story, you've heard of the famous Bereans. Paul went to the Bereans after he'd been at Thessalonica. And the text says that the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians. Why? Because they examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. They didn't care that he claimed to be an apostle. They didn't just listen and go, okay, whatever you say is fine. They got out their Bibles and they said, let's see if what he is saying is true. Their Bibles were open. Their minds were open. We want to be learners, but their Bibles were open and they were discerning the truth. And they were examining if what he said is consistent with what God said. And that's the vision of our church, by the way. Don't listen to everything that I say or anybody that stands up here in this pulpit like whatever is said here is the gospel truth. Have your Bibles open and listen discerningly. Do not be gullible. Do not be easily led astray. No matter who's saying it, including me, God's people cannot tolerate any spirit of error. I would like to think if somebody stood in front of this church and gave a message that was not true, that there would be an outcry against it. So what are we to do? We are to test the spirits, listen with discernment, identify the falsehoods, identify the false teachers, and don't listen to them. And think about what lies behind the teaching. Is it the spirit of God, truth, or is it the spirit of error, falsehood? And listen for what is true, biblical, and exegetically faithful to God's word and the historic gospel handed down to us from Jesus and the apostles. That's the kind of church that we must be. Or 100 years from now, we'll be like so many others. At one time, flowing full of people, so many things going on, now empty. We don't want that, do we? Well, that's a good place for an amen. Don't be afraid. Not everything that, you're probably like, I don't know what to amen anymore around here. That's a safe one. In 100 years, we want our church to be standing on the one true gospel as passionate as ever for Christ. That's what we want. So may God protect our church from all error and cause us to love all God's truth wherever it is found.
Who are you listening to? Are you careful and discerning when you listen to those claiming to speak the truth? Thank you, Steve, for this biblical reminder. This is The Journey with Pastor Steve DeWitt. Steve's the senior pastor of Bethel Church in Northwest Indiana. If you've ever wanted to check out Bethel and see what it's like, well, I invite you to come visit us this weekend. If you're physically unable to do that, you can watch online at bethelweb.org. We stream our services every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:45 a.m. Central Time. For more information, go to bethelweb.org. Thanks for listening. For Pastor Steve and the whole team, I'm Tim Svoboda. See you next time right here on The Journey.